You might like to open your Bible to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 7. And in our study on Sunday, remember, we looked at the great business of the Father. And our Lord Jesus Christ, at the age of 12, reminded his parents, Joseph, his stepfather and all of that, that his father was God. And at 12 years old, they should have understood that he was about his father's business at 12 years old. So in his whole life, he represented God the Father, which is true. That was what had to be, because that's why God sent him, to represent his wonderful person. How can we know God's wonderful person? By Calvary's cross. Because the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost were all involved in the redempting, in the saving of your soul. And when we come to God by way of the cross, we are introduced to God's person. We are introduced to the Father. How? By way of the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ presented the Father to us. So now, as we represent him on planet Earth, we are in the Father's business, as we shared. That's what we are in. Now, we have our own businesses. But God does a wonderful thing when he saved you. He moved you into his business. And we share that together. We shared the burdens of it, etc. Now I'd like to look at the battle. In being a saved person, you'll remember that the Israelites in Egypt didn't have to fight anything. The Egyptian army did all the fighting. When they were in the wilderness, the Israelites didn't have to do any battle in Egypt, I should say. And the Israelites didn't have to do any battle in the wilderness, none whatsoever. They had to just look to God, and God took care of everything. But when they crossed the Jordan, they had to understand things are different, because Egypt wasn't the will of God for Israel. The wilderness wasn't the will of God for Israel. The will of God for Israel was the land, Palestine, Jerusalem. And when you go into the will of God in this world system, governed by the god of this world, the devil, you're in different territory. It's one thing to be in Egypt, unsaved, no problem. Fits right in. Wilderness, no one cares, you aren't doing anything. But the minute you start wanting the will of God for your life, that's when you get problems. That's when the battle begins. That's what you need to understand. When you cross the Jordan, if you were an Israelite, you're going to have to go to battle. And therefore, now that's true in the wilderness and that, they had their old nature, as I note here in Mark chapter 7. And remember, you know all these things, that in Mark chapter 7, and it isn't what goes into the body, in verse 18, what comes out of it, it isn't that. Verse 19, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth him. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, etc. Out of the heart. Think of Proverbs, if you would. With all your keeping, keep your heart. Guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Not your stomach, you need to watch what you eat and things. Now guard your body, guard your heart, because that's where we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and that's why we get saved, It's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so in the wilderness they had their problem, but they never had an enemy. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, things change. And in the process, you did not have God until you received the Lord as your Savior. You didn't receive a package of good things. You didn't receive a little niche on your arm that said you were righteous. That isn't what happened. When you got saved, you received a person, and that person is God. And when you receive God as your Savior, now you got a different story. Now we got a different story. Because the God of this world is not happy with that arrangement, that God would find a home, his home, in your heart. And that is totally unacceptable. Now, what does that do? Well, when you receive the Lord God as your Savior, a person, we just read a little bit in Mark chapter 7, you have an old nature. We all do. And our old nature is evil, if you read it all. So it is. Well, when we receive the Lord as our Savior, he died on the cross to save us in the light of our old nature, and he died on the cross and rose again to give us a wonderful relationship to himself. So when I receive the Lord and you receive the Lord as your Savior, God brought you his righteousness in the person of Christ. In Christ was God the Father. And he brought you righteousness. Now, the righteousness is in opposition to your old nature. You've still got an old nature. So now God, so we never had this conflict. We never had this battle. And how am I going to be about my Father's business? Well, we're busy trying to, the world generally is, trying to live their life and outwork it in whatever way they can. And in doing so, they do it disregarding God, God's will, God's person, God's glory. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God's going to exercise his business, and we shared together that when you got saved, we said that Sunday of that, that God gives you a whole new vocation. And you have the advocation to make money and go to work and do all those things. But when you get saved, and we shared all of that so you could see it, God's calling, his heavenly, high, holy, healthy, happy calling, he calls us. What did he summon you to? To himself when you got saved. And he summoned you to himself. He gave you a whole new relationship for a whole new way of exercising your existence to outwork his wonderful will in your life. Because you're in business with the Father now. And without going through all of that, that's what happened. So people, when they get saved, God brings them into a whole new atmosphere and relationship to be able to live a life that wasn't even existent. It was impossible. But God, in his great kindness, saves us. And he saves us to be able to exercise his wonderful person in our life. So in this process, God, we're God, your light, and we live in darkness, and darkness is all around us. You are light and life, and we're dead in trespasses and sin. You've made us alive, but we still got that old nature. And we live in a world of death, people that aren't saved. Unsaved people. And God, here we are looking, and here's the good. You're very good. You're a good God, always, just because you're God. But we're evil. We're evil. Good, evil. Good, evil. It's light, darkness, life, death, good, evil, righteousness and wrongness. All of it's opposing. And all the different things in life around us, those are the main ingredients that we're having to face up to. Light and right, etc. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, if you would, over to 2 Corinthians and chapter 10. Now, what am I going to do in this? Because I have a problem with this old nature of mine, and I have to understand, if I wasn't saved, I wouldn't have any problem. But when I get saved, God makes the problem in me. Because I could, people do what they want, say what they want, etc. We're looking at it. We're looking at a world in great trouble, leading to a very troubled world and to tribulation, trouble. And if you remember, I don't want to get off on it, but if you remember the 60s, and the 60s, you know, the horrible 60s. What happened in the 60s? The Vietnam War, drugs, etc. Rebellion. What did the adult world do? They bowed down to the rebellion and to the everything that was there. They bowed down. What happened in the 60s? The government changed. Adults, business, churches changed. Missions changed. Education changed. It all changed. And if you remember that, what happened, remember the, if you try to go back to the 50s, remember Leave It to Beaver? Do you remember those silly things? Life was different. Morality was different. The world you lived in when you went to the gas station was different. But it isn't anymore. After that, everything changed, including missions and the government and education. And now you've got another event that we aren't fixing. And unless we fix it, it's going to be another step down. Like in the 60s, we went down. And now here we are, and if we don't come out of this all right, we're down here. Do you understand? We aren't going to recover. You aren't going to recover what we've lost. Francis Scott Key isn't going to be put back up in the statue, etc. Something's... Anyway, I don't get into it. That's where we're headed. So it's down, down, down. And say, well, what's the difference? You can still get pizza. That's true. But your world's different. And the global conditions are different. Anyway, now, I don't want to get... 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Excuse me, did I say 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And you would know, what am I going to do with my mind and heart? I have to understand, God has given us His Word, and we shared that we have burdens. We have to carry them. And in the burdens, they're God's will for our life. And we shared all of that under the yoke on the other side of the yoke. It's the Lord. Think of two oxen going down the road, and the other side of the yoke is the oxen, and the yoke on your side is always upheld and balanced by the other side. Christ is always balancing the other side of everything you face and everything you feel and everything you fear. Christ is balancing it. Do you understand? He helps you through it. That's the burdens. But the burdens involve the battles. And so here in God, what are we going to do? Well, here in verse chapter 10, quickly, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. War, to go to war, to be a soldier, to wage war. Again, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly. We can't use a BB gun and stuff. You can't do that. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So it's an awesome thing. Well, God, how are we going to do it? In verse 5, casting down imagination, your thought process, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so we're going to walk by faith. And that means our feelings, our fears are all there, our normal personality, etc., is there. The difference is we're learning to look to God so that we have that. We understand that's us, and your nose doesn't change, and your everything stays the same, but your insides are different. And you understand that, and you're looking to God. So you're trusting God. Someone's with you to help you, guide you, to govern you. And we're to look to God in the light of His presence and His person. So as we get down the corridor, we're going to go and understand that those thoughts, I have to make a decision. Am I going to trust the little bit I know about God and His Word? And I want to know more. That's why we sit here. So I want to understand God. How am I going to get along with God? How am I going to enjoy God? I can't if I don't know Him. I don't know Him. I need to know Him. I need to know what He's like and what He's after. His burden is light, etc. Now, so therefore, we're going to go and cast our thoughts down. We're going to say, hold it. God, that isn't what you said. You said to trust you with all our heart. And therefore, I'm not doing that, God. So I recognize that. I recognize I'm not thanking you. I recognize I'm not trusting you. I recognize I'm not exercising the little bit I know about you. And therefore, I'm wrong. And I need to correct that. And we correct it in our heart. Think of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And that's what we do. We got it. God, I got it. And we're done with it. We're all done. We don't play with it. We don't play around with it and pull it out of our pocket again and play with it. No, we're all done. All done with it. Confess our sin and go forward. Casting down every high thought. Now, and having had that, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to 020 Philippians. And we want to go thinking, and in Philippians chapter 2, and in verse 5, you recall, to let this, I'll read it quickly, chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what are we doing? God has given us His Word so that we can understand what He wants and what He wishes. We don't have to guess at it, and we don't have to guess at it. And we have to understand what He tell us about war and the battle. Well, I don't see any battle. It's all around you, and you realize it. We've said it 1,000 times. You're feeling healthy because you believe. I mean, you're feeling healthy because you believe, and you're feeling healthy because all the good germs in your system, all the systems, are taking care of the bad germs. And when the bad germs win, you're sick. When the good germs win, you feel good. But it's always a battle. Always going on. Down in your tummy, all over your body. All over your body. Back and forth, back and forth. Wow. And it's winning. So we have to understand that. So I'm a peacenik or something. No, you can't be. It's impossible. Sin doesn't allow you to be a peacenik. Now, over if you would, in the light of that, over in a chapter, 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter 2. And you will notice, please, just to give us a direct shot at it. 1 Peter chapter 2, as you know, in verse 11. Dearly beloved, remember now, verse 9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar, special, prized, privileged people. And God has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Having done that, sliding down to verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. You have a fleshly lust problem. Lust, the things that you're going for. Your old nature wants them, loves them, pursues them negatively and positively. So now, God, here we are looking. So now, God, here's our lust. Now, in order to pick that up very quickly, if I can, over to chapter 1. And in verse 14, 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, are not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. You got saved, you act differently, you think differently, you're going to come out differently. That's what you're going to do. Everything's the same, but you think differently. Now, in the process of all of that, to even get it even quicker, over if you would please, to Romans chapter 7. And Romans chapter 7 says it directly to you. So if you have any guess about it, and the easy way to test all of this is try to just be a believing believer and recognize it's the Father's will and Father's business to outwork that business in your life. Easy said, right? Now do it. Now do it. It's not easy to do because your old nature doesn't want you to. So unless I understand that, I can read this all. I can read verses and truths, but what can I say? And like in Peter, the war against our soul. There's a war inside of our soul. Now, so here's Romans chapter 7. And remember that Paul's struggling now with this battle inside of him, being saved. And he went through a long stretch to learn this. And in chapter 7, and picking up directly in verse 23, but I see another law in my members, in my eyes, ears, nose, throat, body, brains, blood. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, casting down everything in your mind, because the mind is the key. How are you thinking? You're going to feel and react based on your thoughts. Whatever you think is the source for all that's going to come. So therefore, verse 23 again, but I see another law in my members, warring, there's your little word, as a soldier waging war, against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It's already in me. Now I need to, we've said that, you know that, but you have to practice it. You've got a lousy, lousy heart. And so do I. We all do. And God saved us. That's a marvel that God would save you and do this for you. And God thinks always the same. He doesn't change. We have to line up with it. And therefore, Paul says, listen, I had to learn. And the result, you know, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? There's no way I'm going to get free of this. You're right. You go to bed with your old nature, you get up with your old nature. You dream with your old nature. You got it. Where are you going to get rid of it? You don't. You aren't going to get rid of it. And you don't sit there and try to beat it up either. Well, what do you do, Spirit of God? Chapter 7. O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from this body of death? I thank God. Verse 25, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, my thought process, start with your mind, how you think. It's how you're thinking. Am I going to think God's thoughts or am I going to think my own thoughts? And I have to make a decision. And therefore, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And then the solution, chapter 8 and verse 2 directly, for the law of the Spirit of Christ in Christ Jesus hath made me free, F-R-E-E, and the truth shall make you free. So I'm going to look to God. I got this. I'm not going to win. I can't hit it in the nose. I can't punch it. I can't get it. I can't squeeze it out. I can't make it go away. So I'm going to quit doing that because that wears me out, wears us out. I'm going to thank God that when he went to the cross, he terminated it, even though I still live in this body. And flesh and blood, in 1 Corinthians 15, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You got that old nature from Adam, but we're still living in a body. How do you know you're still living in a body? Because you're going to die. You're going to die. Why are you going to die? The wages of sin is death. You're going to die. That's part of it. So you say, I'm going to be good. No, you're not. You're dying. You're dying. You aren't going to be good. You're dying. God, you're saving us while we're dying. That's right. I'm giving you life. Whose life? Not my old nature life. No, your life. That's what I have. Christ is our life. And we go down the corridor of time. That's what we're doing. And the truth will set us free. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, would you go over, please, to James chapter 4. And in James chapter 4, remember the lust of your flesh, the war against your soul. So I got a war going on. That's right. I never had it till I got saved. And the reason the war is going on is because God wants everything to be His. He wants to honor Himself. He wants you to enjoy being saved. How's that? God wants you to enjoy His wonderful presence in the midst of a troubling time that's not going away. Now, that's what He wants you to have. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart. That's what you're going to do. But I got to honor. I got to understand. It's a battle. Yes, it is. And the world system doesn't mind if I'm religious up to my eyeballs. But it doesn't want me to enjoy light and life in the midst of darkness and death. It doesn't want me to enjoy a righteousness that is not mine but His in the light of unrighteousness. He wants me to enjoy life. Now, having said that, picking up, please, James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars, which is the little word we're looking at, and fightings to go into the arena, in the stadium, that's what they did, fightings, contest. To wars and fightings among you come they, not hence, even of your lust, that war against your members. So everything's coming together if you want it to stick together. It's your members. The war. They're at war with God. So you got to face that and tackle it. How are you going to do it? We walk by faith, not by sight. Our weapons of warfare, right? We can't go and mumble something and overcome it. No, we just have to look to God and thank God for what He has already finished on, or what He's already done. What He has already done for us in a most, most wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, you would recall, in God's wonderful kindness, to be a good soldier, etc. And so therefore, picking up if I can, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and in verse 18, going directly in the light of the time and all that, that this charge I commit unto thee, Timothy, thee son Timothy, according to the prophecies, the word of God, which you went by, believed, which went before thee, on thee, that purpose, result, that thou by them, by the word of God, by what God has said, thou mightest war a good warfare. That's what I want you to do, said Paul. God, what do you want? I'm in your business. I want to be about your burdens. I don't want to carry burdens that aren't meant to be. But all the ones that are meant to be, I want to carry them, and you're there to help me carry them. And in the midst of the battles there, and there's lots of battles, and I don't want to get overcome trying to battle something I'm not supposed to battle. Think of Josiah back in the Old Testament, and Josiah went against the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, going up north to attack, and he should have got, even the king, unsaved king, said, don't come after me. I'm not going to touch you, Josiah. I'm going to go right through your land up to northward. And Josiah went and disguised himself because he was going to go fight him anyway. And he went out and fought him and got killed. That's what he did. God, lots of battles. You can't fight all the battles. They're all over the place, everywhere. So what am I going to do? I can't wear myself out in 25 different battles that I can't do anything about very much at all. I wish I could stop it. So do you. But you can't. You can't do it. We're too little. It doesn't mean we couldn't altogether do something sometime, but that we can't do it. So what do we have to do? We have to do the ones we can do. And God's going to give us the victory of the ones we can do. So God, we're looking to you in your will, and I'm going to outwork. So my first thing is I want to be in tune and touch with you so that I can war the good warfare. Good, little word good, is beautiful. It's externally good. That which you're looking at, you see something. It's beautiful, exquisite, marvelous. You see it. Wow. What warfare? Wow. Beautiful warfare. Spiritual warfare. Wow. We can't even imagine it. The devils, the good guys and the bad guys out there, the angels, doing what they do in and around us, they do then. Wow. Wow. And in doing that, dear friend, I can't see their battle, but it is something. And God, our relationship to you, we're able to be winners. All the while, we seem to be losers, but we're winning. We're always winning. Always winning. Always under the burden, yoke, but in the battle. Battles are many, many, many. I have to be careful. I don't get fearful, afraid of. Line it up. That's a lot of fear out there now, and it's going to get more generated. So hang in there. And that's because that's the secret, fear, and then fight, fright, fright, afraid, and fear and fright, and instead of being right and looking to God, you don't have to be fearful, and you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to do that. Why? Because Christ is not going to have you do anything, and nothing's going to happen. Why? Aren't you trying to do the Father's will? Uh-huh. Aren't you trying to carry the Father's burdens that he should for your being? That's right. And aren't you understanding in your own body which belongs to him, you're outworking his will? Now who's going to, people can say what they want. Who's going to stop his will? Who stands in the way of his will for your life? No one does. No one can stand in the way. No one can do that. No. So therefore, war the good warfare. And that's the same words, by the way, that would be used in 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. The noun and the verb are both used in the same place. War. Our weapons are not carnal as we go. Our warfare is spiritual, etc. Now, having said that, while you're in Timothy, why not? Over, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6, as you know. To war the good warfare. And in the process, here we are moving down, God, in the process of time. And in chapter 6, picking up, if I can, in verse 12, directly for time's sake. Timothy, what else? War the good warfare. If someone said that to you, what would you say? I want you to war the good warfare. And you'd say, what war? Right? What war is there? I don't see any war. That's trouble. You don't see it. But it's there. And that's why the world you live in is godless. As far as God's concerned, they have a relationship. Communism, socialism, Islam, all of the lineup, evolution, to the foundation of which, because no one's any more than an overgrown blob. So what are you worried about? That's why communism can kill millions, even now, people. Without even blinking an eyeball. Because that's all they have. We're nothing. It's just who's in power and how long they're in power. And they do that. And the world doesn't care. The world doesn't have any future. This is their future. And communism, back to communism and socialism and them, and Islam, they have no goal. There's no time limit. Remember, there's no time. Communism has forever. So they aren't in a hurry. Islam, waiting for the to be totally under the whatever, the guy is. Anyway, coming in there. They have no time limit. They just can wait. And time is no problem. Time is no problem. Just down the road. Because this is their future. This is where they're going. This is what's going to be. So I need to understand that. So that, and the people that pick up their educational emphasis up by evolution and Freudian psychology and all that stuff, be happy at any cost anyway. Who cares? As long as you're happy. Happy. Be happy. And in the process. And they go. But when you get saved, God gives you an awesome reason why you're here and where you're going and when you're going. So God, here we are looking to you. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight. Little word good, beautiful, external. And the word fight there, remember we just mentioned, is in the stadium in the Grecian games. You would have contests, combat, all kinds of things, trials and tests. And that's what they did. That's the word, to fight. You go out into the arena. What do you go out into the arena for? Not for a picnic. You go out in the arena against somebody to fight, to the death often. That's what you're doing. That's what we're doing. We're fighting. Fight the good fight. So it isn't a picnic. It's a wonderful thing. God says it's a wonderful thing that you represent me in time. And I want you to understand that. You're in my battle. You have the battles because you're in my business. And as you do my business, the world doesn't want my business done. The world doesn't want people to be saved, really. And the world certainly doesn't want saved people. Think of the book of Galatians in that. They don't want saved people to be saved and enjoy it. That's what they don't want. Because then you're a very bright light in a very dark world. And they don't want you to be like that. You're a happy camper when everyone should be sad. Everyone should be mad and sad and frustrated, etc. That's when you come jumping ahead, I'm jumping all over here. When you come to the head in the troubling days, and the troubling days come, we're looking for an upward calling, knowing where it's headed. So we aren't looking. We understand what's there. And Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, what's it say? There are four horses. And God, how do you introduce John? What do you tell John? Come and see. Come and see. You won't believe what's going to happen. Come and see each time, each horse. Come and see what's going to happen. You won't believe it. Wow. God, that's where, but we aren't governed by that. That isn't a problem. That's what's going to happen in God's wonderful purpose. So work out, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, fight command. Lay hold, command, on eternal life, wherein thou art called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. You believed, you said you were saved, then be saved. Be saved. Fight the good fight. I don't want, then you have to, you say, they don't want me to. That's your old nature. Hold it. You want to be unashamed. It doesn't mean you walk around with a big sign in you all the time saying this and thus. No, it just means you're relaxed and you're going to be relaxed. And to the measure and need, you relate all of the truth to the measure that you can do it properly wherever you are. Otherwise, everyone's just going to come and go. They come and go. That's what they did with our Lord. We shared that Sunday. How much did they understand him? They didn't. Everything he said. He said, after he said it, he said, I know you didn't understand. But I told you. It isn't that you didn't know. I told you it. But you didn't understand. Now, having said that little bit, and all of these good works that God does in a most wonderful way, and remember now, again, we shared, the battles are going to intensify. They aren't going to get less, and they aren't going to get less. Not at all. Now, having said that, over to 1 Peter. Oh, before you do, hang your finger. Let me do one thing first that will help you. You know it, but over to Galatians. And God tells it to us directly. Galatians chapter 5. Remember that we're warring the good warfare, fighting the good fight, and the warfare is in our heart, so that's the beginning, and that's what we're trying to fight all the time, and we don't have to get worn out by it, because we don't have to do that. On the contrary, Galatians chapter 6, and picking up, please, verse 16. This I say then, walk ye in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, where's the problem? Because, verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, opposing each other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You can't enjoy the simple life you did when you were unsaved, because you get saved. And if you're really saved, you can't enjoy life anymore. And you have to get with it. You have to get a hold of it. God's given you a new life. And he doesn't want you to enjoy the old life. How's that? He wants you to enjoy his life, his will, his purpose, his wonderful working. And that's what he wants to have. And I would say, well, my will's better than his. Really? My will's better than his. What I want is really what I want. God said, you have no idea what you want. And in your pursuit of everything, you'll end up with nothing. That's what will happen. You'll end up with nothing at all. Wow. Now, God, so here we are, and in the one contrary one to another. Over to Peter. When you're born physically, you have all of the ins and outs, ups and downs of growing up, and you're living in a body that you've lived with for so long, and that's what you've done. When you get saved spiritually, you have to grow up, and you have the old body you're used to, and you got a whole new relationship you have to get used to, and you have to work at it a little bit. You have to understand it so you can exercise it properly. In over, if I can, 1 Peter chapter 5. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, wakeful, staying awake. Be sober, be vigilant, because, why? Your adversary, your opponent, the devil, the one who slanders and does everything against all that God would do, your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, a very fierce, hungry lion, roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for anyone and anyone anywhere that can be in the way of what he wants. And he's going to go after them. Now, that doesn't mean the devil's going to pick on us. I don't think so. We're just nobody. But the devil and the whole evil system and all the demons and all of that, they're all busy doing what they do. That's what they're doing. What do they want? Devour us. The word devour, to swallow us down, to gulp and take the whole thing down. Wow. That's what the devil wants, to put out of business. Now God, that's how that is, but it's introduced, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That he may exalt you in due time. Got to do. God, here we are. And God, we're going to go and look to you. And God, we're going to go and humble ourselves. We're going to receive well and good and welcome your humiliations. And what's humility? How do we get humble? By recognizing our old nature and all the things about us. And pretty soon we aren't to, that's why we aren't cheering, that's why God doesn't let us, that's why we don't. Why, if we're saved, we should be mighty Samsons and every line plowing down the, no, because we understand the more we learn, the more we are humbled that God would save us, that God would save us from our sin. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? God, I know in me dwelleth no good thing. And Paul will say on his deathbed, I am the chief of sinners. That's how Paul goes. Wonderful life. How's he going to go? I'm the chief of sinners, God. We're humbled. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Remember we did this years ago. It's in the Old Testament. I don't have time to do it. You push your hand down, and they push your hand down. What can I do? I don't know. Anyway, push your hand down. When the hand comes down, you don't want to go. You don't want to go. And here's the thing. And come in. They what? Let the hand fall on you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Enjoy and exercise being humbled. And in your humility, you will be exalted. And you will be rightly excited, because it isn't you. It isn't about you, you're better or you're worse or something. No, it isn't about being gooder or better, badder or whatever. No. No, it's about a wonderful relationship to God, that God takes us and saves us. And he saves us every single second. All the while we have an old nature that rebels against him. And God is, but he took care of it. He crucified it. So as far as God's concerned, it's dead. And that's what we're to do. Reckon ourselves dead and indeed unto sin. Now God, in doing that, we said, so the devil's about, he's there. The enemy is there. Mm-hmm. The world system is there. My old nature's there. And I'm not going to try to fight it. I'm just going to thank God he saves me. Thank God he saves us. And we're going to be, that saves us. That means I'm not standing up shouting on the top of the mountain, 1 Corinthians 10. No, when you go to the top of the mountain, stay on your knees. Rule of thumb. When God lifts you up, stay on your knees. So you don't fall down. Stay on your knees. Now, so God, having said that, now God, what are you going to tell us? What else do you say before you tell me the devil is going to try to get me? Humble yourself under my mighty hand. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, because he careth for you. God cares. God cares. You're in the Father's business. The Father's burdens, the Father's battles. It's because I represent the Father that I have to fight in my heart and understand the battle so that I don't get passive, indifferent about it, apathetic or something. I don't want to get like that. I want to be understandable. My Father. And God gives us those wonderful things. And so therefore, God, you've got to help us in every way. There's not a question about it. So God, looking to you to be to us all that we are and all that we aren't. And therefore, God, we aren't going to go after that battles that we don't have to fight. No, if they're in front of me, if they're in my way, in the will of God, I'm going to look to God to get me through them. Because that's what God wants. And we're going to understand, all this in Deuteronomy in that chapter 2. You can't have that. You don't try to spin your wheels and spend your life trying to get something that you may never get. And even when you get it, you're going to lose it because you can't hang on to it. Right? Bill Gates, he gives $1 zillion, I just read that, $1.3 to some kooky outfit in the process. $1.3 billion, that's a lot of money. That's why these groups can be so powerful. That's a lot of money. Wow. Now, God, here we are, and we're going to look to you and go carefully and trust you. So, God, thank you very much for what you're doing. And God, you have to help us. We aren't going to beat the system. We aren't even trying to beat the system. We are saved out of the system. We are saved from the system. Thank you. And there's a word. Fight the good fight of faith. I'll say it differently. Be believing the body of truth that is to be believed. God gave you his word. Believe it. As much as you know it, believe it. God, what can we do? Believe me, he said. Believe. And then the second word that goes with believe. Thank you. Thank you, God, for whatever you're doing and how you do it. Thank you that you always are doing, no matter how we cut the cookie. You're always busy being God, our God and Savior. So we can go to any battle and face any enemy and go forward. And we aren't going to get knocked down by the system or the world system, the economic system, the political system. We're going to walk right down the corridor of time looking to God. The battles are there, but we're going to make sure we're winning our battle. I want the Father's will, and the Father's will is going to be opposed by the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's what I want. So I have to understand that, and I want to go for it. I'm going to go for it against all odds, all opposition, all obstacles. All of it is overwhelming. In fact, I'm on the playing field of the enemy. The enemy is all around us. But we're to go down the corridor and win. Anyway, down we go. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with us. Thank you very much. Our Father, we didn't even stop for prayer. But God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We think of the ill, the weak, the sick, the different people with different needs and problems that God... We're going to have to look to you. They're going to have to look to you with all their heart. And God, you're going to have to help us through it. And God, you have to enable us. There's no way we're going to make it, God, by ourselves. We're going to get swallowed up unless we do something in our little head and heart to understand and exercise that which we already have in Christ Jesus. We already have it, so we don't have to pray for it. We don't have to get it. We have a wonderful life, a normal life, your life. And we're to live that life. So God, you got to help us. God, please. I don't even have to say please, God. It is your will. Do it. Thank you very, very, very much. For our country, for Israel, for all that's going on, for our president all the way down, police, the firemen, God, the very difficult, difficult time it is. God, help us through it all, that many would come to know you as their Savior, and that, God, you would give us a measure of grace, if you would, if it be your pleasure. But irregardless, let us walk by faith and not by sight. In Christ's name. Amen.